I'm just remarking to the kids how sometimes we complain that we don't have enough stories about Jesus from his childhood. And we do actually have a few, including the one from tonight, which is just days after his birth, 40 days to be exact. The purification of Mary, the special rites of the Jews that she needed to go through as a first-time mother. And then the presentation of our Lord as the firstborn son. He needed to be presented to the Lord, needed to be redeemed. Now Jesus, of course, unique case, right? Son of God, perfect, yet he is placed under the law. Why? For you, for me, for the sin of the world. So an incredibly special commemoration that we have tonight. And in the midst of all that going on, we have Simeon singing one of the most beautiful songs that we have, and that we sing every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the Nunc Dimittis, now let your servant go in peace. Our order of worship this night will be divine service, setting number 1, page 151 and following. Our opening hymn will be 519, We Pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you that you are placed under the law in our place for us, that you lived the perfect life that we could not, that you walked the way of the cross, bearing our sin upon your shoulders. We beg you, O Lord, that you would be with us as we celebrate that here, in this place, we see your salvation, and when we have heard your gospel, when we have received your sacraments, that we can now depart in peace. We ask you, O Lord, that you give us that peace each and every day. In your holy, your precious name we pray. Amen. Hymn 519. divine service, setting number one, page 151, we sing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, hath given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together, printed on your bulletin insert. Above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Almighty and ever-living God, as your only begotten Son was this day presented in the temple in the substance of our flesh, grant that we may be presented to you with pure and clean hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for the purification of Mary and the presentation of our Lord comes from the first chapter of 1 Samuel. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to the words of the gradual. We speak them together, printed on your bulletin insert. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, his holy mountain. As we have heard, so have we seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts,
we have fought
on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. The epistle comes from Hebrews, 2nd chapter. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that He helps, but He helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, He had to be made like His brothers in every respect, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lenten verse, page 157, we stand. Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. This is the gospel of our Lord.
You
may be seated for the hymn of the day, number 754. 754.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. The text for our meditation tonight as we celebrate the purification of Mary and the presentation of our Lord, the gospel reading that we heard a moment ago from Luke 2, especially the first verses. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. They cried out to God for relief, deliverance, salvation. They cried out generation after generation for more than 400 years. The children of God cried out. They cried out that God would hear their plea, that God would raise up a deliverer, that God would set them free from slavery and take them to the promised land. God heard their prayers. He raised up a deliverer. We know His name, Moses. God raised up Moses. God gave Moses the task to stand before Pharaoh and to cry, "Let my people go, thus says the Lord." But Pharaoh's heart was hard. He did not listen to Moses. He did not listen to the Word of God. And so God softened his heart. He did it in the form of plagues, each one of the plagues attacking one of the various gods of Egypt. Plague after plague after plague God sent, displaying His power, His might, His care for the people. And each time, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And after Pharaoh hardened his heart, finally, God hardened Pharaoh's heart until it was melted once and for all with the 10th plague. You know the plague that I'm talking about, right? Where God sent the angel of death, the stench of death, to kill the firstborn of all Egypt. But the firstborn of the children of Israel were spared. The blood of a lamb was put on the doorpost, and wherever the angel of death saw the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, the angel of death passed over. Death passed over that house. The children of Israel were kept safe. Pharaoh finally said, "Leave! Get out of here!" And they went. Oh, there's more to the story. We know that. The crossing of the Red Sea, the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But the 10th plague, setting the people free, free from the death of the firstborn, became a part of the law of God, recorded in Leviticus 12 and in Exodus 13. God set out a reminder. He said, "Remember when I spared the firstborn of all Israel. Well, now it's time to pay me back." The firstborn. The firstborn belongs to me. Oh, you can redeem him. You can buy him back. but the firstborn of both animal and human beings belongs to me. To remind you of what happened at the time of the Passover. How the angel of death put to death all the firstborn of Egypt, but spared the firstborn of the children of Israel. The firstborn belongs to me. The wilderness became a place of wandering. God directed Moses to build a place of worship called a tabernacle, really a giant tent. And in this tent, there were lots of rules and regulations, who would go where, what would go where. But the beautiful thing about this tent, this tabernacle, was that it was filled with the glory of God. You could see it like a giant cloud that enveloped everything inside. God let the people know that He was present, really present, with His glory in the cloud, in the tabernacle. Later, when the children of Israel got to the promised land, God said, "No longer will My name and My glory dwell in a tent." And so God directed the temple to be built. And when the temple construction was complete, God's presence, God's glory, His real presence that you could see, filled the temple. And the people of God rejoiced. But the people of God betrayed God. They broke His laws and commandments. They became idolaters, worshiping any and every god that offered some kind of a promise of pleasure, passion, wealth. God removed His presence from the temple. The people of God wept. That temple was destroyed. The people of God wept. And then the people came back from their servitude, their bondage, their exile, and a remnant was given the commission to rebuild the temple. And the prophet Haggai, that we never hear anything about in all of Scripture, the prophet Haggai gives this prophecy. The new temple will be better and more glorious than the old one. And so the people's hopes were really filled. I don't remember the name of that TV show where they remake a house and they have kind of the truck parked in front of the house. You know what I'm talking about. I see your heads waving up and down. Move that truck! And then you see what it looks like. Well, kind of like the city of Lincoln when they did that rebuild here in town. And half of the city went, "Oh Lord, that's hideous." The people of God, when they saw the second temple, it was hideous in comparison to the first one. It was tiny. It was not glorious. What in the world was Haggai, or God through Haggai, saying? How could this ugly thing, this tiny thing, ever be more glorious than the first temple? Besides, where's the cloud? Where's the glory of God? Now, lest you think that I am up here rambling and babbling about Old Testament stories that have nothing to do with one another. Remember the law. The firstborn, both male man and beast belongs to the Lord. You can buy him back by offering a sacrifice. The prescription for a sacrifice was a lamb. Or, if you're really, really poor and can't afford a lamb, well, then you can have a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Mary and Joseph, 40 days after Jesus was born, in order to fulfill the law of God, went to the temple. Now everyone assumes, it doesn't say so here in Luke 2, everyone assumes, because the turtle doves or the pigeons are mentioned, everybody assumes that Mary and Joseph are very, very poor and they have no money. Now that could be, but the Bible doesn't say. The prescription for the sacrifice is a lamb. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and in so doing fulfilled the law of God, the law that says a male must be presented to the Lord, and if you don't present him, offer a sacrifice of a lamb. Mary and Joseph bring Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And as they present Jesus before the altar of God, the prophet Haggai is vindicated, because the glory of the temple had never shone greater. It wasn't about a building. It wasn't about a cloud or smoke. It was about God in the flesh coming to the temple to save the people of God. The Lamb of God coming to save you and me from our sin. My friends, God's Word is fulfilled here in Luke 2. The law of God is fulfilled for you. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is presented for you. But there's so much more. Jesus, who He is and what He has done. Jesus, His Good Friday death and His Easter resurrection are given to you, poured out to you here in God's temple, where the glory of God fills all things. And you are claimed as His son or as His daughter. It is as if God, through the power and miracle of holy baptism, presents you, redeemed, holy, and pure. Your sins are forgiven. Your name is written in the book of life. And God says, "Now, my son, my daughter, washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, made holy by the holy death and glorious resurrection of Jesus. Now, my child, present yourselves as living sacrifices." Romans 12. You are to present yourself before God and your fellow human beings as one who has been washed clean, pure, clean, and holy. We don't present ourselves as a sacrifice for sin. We already have one, Jesus. You are a living sacrifice. Sacrifices are dead. You are dead to Christ and alive in Him through the waters of holy baptism. In your flesh, your new life in Christ, God presents you to the world as a living sacrifice, sacrificing that old Adam or old Eve that lives inside of you, sacrificing your wants and your desires and your passions and your evil lusts to love God and to serve one another. How can you do it? Well, you can't on your own, because all of us by nature are selfish, self-centered, sinful little children. And like little children, all we can think about is ourself. But God says no. Jesus, the Lamb of God, has been presented for you. Jesus, the Lamb of God, has lived and died and now lives again for you. He fills the temple of your body with His glory as He lives and dwells in you. And now, my friends, set free from the power of sin. Set free from the condemnation of the law. We are free to live. To live our lives in peace, in joy, in compassion, in service. For the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. My friends, may God grant it to each one of us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the Word of God, we are bold to confess the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We speak the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand as you're able. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In addition to prayer requests as listed in your bulletin, we also remember Good Shepherd member Alvin Schmeling, who is recovering from surgery. And we give thanks with Aaron and Rachel Wagner at the gift of a son, James Michael. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the faithful proclamation of Christ's saving name, that He may be presented before the world as the Savior of all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For the holy Christian church scattered throughout the world and for all who confess the name of Christ, that God would guard and defend us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who partake this day of Christ's holy body and blood, that in their eating and drinking they may receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins and the renewal of life, and have a foretaste of the feast to come. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer from hunger, homelessness, poverty, or unemployment, that God's great mercy and love would preserve and relieve them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick or recovering from surgery, Leola, Mark, Greg, and Alvin, that God would grant healing to their bodies and strength to bear their infirmities with patience and grace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who rejoice in the rich blessings of God, especially Aaron and Rachel, at the gift of a son, James Michael, that they may always remember the giver of every gift and give him heartfelt thanks, and that this little one would be brought to the font to be claimed as your own. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in His victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from His ascension before you, where He ever stands as our own High Priest. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
And welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship pad at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this night. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a Savior, Jesus, would fill your day today and always. This time also we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
We stand for the offertory, page 159.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, sharing your eternal splendor, was presented on this day in your temple in the substance of our human flesh and revealed by the Spirit as the glory of Israel and the light of all peoples. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Now this true body and precious blood, for crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy, your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and sing the Nuptiminis, page 165. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give to you peace.
Amen.
The Common Doxology.
Again, welcome in the name of Jesus, presented the Lamb of God for you and for your salvation. I looked for some Good Shepherd news and notes before, and we either ran out on Sunday or they got recycled early. So if you didn't get them, sorry, they are up. Oh, you found some? All right, very good. They are updated online, so we were a little bit behind on that, but we are caught up. They are updated online, so check that out. We have a lot of stuff going on. 2 weeks from tonight is Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent. We are having a little bit of a different schedule change for our Wednesdays during Lent. Church will be at 4 o'clock and at 6:30. It'll be the same service. Fellowship meal in between, and we're hoping by putting those services together that more people will be able to enjoy and interact during that fellowship time. That'll just be for the 6 Wednesdays during Lent. And since Ash Wednesday is also Valentine's Day, we decided we're not going to just have one day, but we're going to have 40 days of love. And so during Lent this year, we're going to be working and preaching our way through the Epistle of 1 John, which is often called the Epistle of Love. So we pray God's blessings on that. We still have the things out in the hallway. We celebrated and observed Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, last Sunday. So brochures and things out there, check that out. And thank God for the gift of life among us. Choir up in the balcony. We're vicarless. He's on vacation. We have no idea where he's at. I have no idea if he's still stuck in Chester and Hubble from last Sunday or what, but we pray that he'll be back again on Monday. But we will have Bible study in the fellowship hall, continue our look at Psalm 119, and Lifelight Bible study tomorrow at 1 o'clock, continuing our study of the book of Hebrews. Pastor? Talk about summer trip. All right. We had voters assembly last night here in the congregation. I couldn't be here, but by all accounts, things went well. And just to pass on one little bit of information, congregation voted that we will continue in the vicarage program at least one more year. So Vicar Short will not be the last one. We've been teasing him about that all year long. So we keep that in our thoughts and prayers and look forward to whoever the Lord has in store for us. I think that's all. Have a great day and week and life in the Lord Jesus Christ.